O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Hello again. Glad to be with you. I pray everybody has had a good week. Look forward to sharing what God's led me to deliver for you today. It's a great song, How Great Thou Art. It has a King James ring to it, but it's a classic, and I can sense the presence of God every time I sing it. Because we're singing not only about God, we're singing to Him. He is great. And before we get started today, I wanted to share something else with you. I was reading in Numbers chapter 9 a few days ago. The children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and a manifestation of God's glory would guide them through a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And in this particular chapter, it says that there were times when this cloud would stay in a particular area where they camped, maybe a day, maybe a month, or even longer. But they wouldn't depart until that cloud moved. And that's powerful. On our journey of faith, there are times when God may leave us in a particular place or situation in life longer than we think He should. But He always has His reasons. And the worst thing to do is move before God moves, or stay in a particular area when God wants us to move. Always be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of God. But it's this very God who guides us in so much more than I want to talk about today. You know, last week we talked about the Bible being the Word of God. Well, this week we're going to be talking about the God of the Word. Before we start, I want to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, giving You the praise and the honor and the glory for all that You are. Lord, we thank You for the blessings that You shower upon us. We thank You for the fact that You are great, that You are majestic, that You not only created, but You sustain everything. You're sovereign over everything. We thank You for Your living Word. We thank You for Your written Word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us, who teaches us, who helps us understand your word. And as we open it up, open up our hearts to its truth. And anoint me in delivering it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The foundational passage for today's episode is going to be found in Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 and 2. And the Holy Spirit through the psalmist says this, Lord, you've been our dwelling place for all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So last week we talked about the importance of the Bible, how it is the Word of God. God anointed men from different places, different walks of life to write what we have in His Word. And we also talked about a primary reason we read and study God's Word is to know more about Him. So it's a few things that I want to share with you today revealed in God's Word that we see about God Himself. In this passage that we read, the Holy Spirit led Moses to write this. Now, there were many people that the Holy Spirit led contribute to the Psalms. The majority of them were written by David, but this one was an exception. It's the same Moses who God chose to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Now, according to many sources I read on this particular psalm, it probably took place toward the end of the wilderness wanderings. Moses had already witnessed the passing of many from the Exodus generation, his brother and sister included. Now the people had grumbled again because once again they were out of water. And God told Moses to speak to a particular rock and miraculously water would come out for them. Well, Moses, out of anger and frustration because the people complained again like they had many times before, struck the rock instead of spoke to it. So God said, as punishment, you're not going to enter the promised land with the children of Israel. But despite all of this, Moses was reflecting on how great God is. That he had been their dwelling place, that he had been their shelter, their place of refuge, not only for the children of Israel in the wilderness, but even way back to the patriarchs who God chose and called, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you read time and time again in their lives how God was their shelter. He was their place of refuge, just like he was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. Well, I'm sure Moses, when he was praying before God, he was looking at all the awesome creation around him, reflecting on and praising God for the fact that he existed long before these mountains, long before the world, long before the earth. And I believe that this same Moses, who the Holy Spirit anointed to write the book of Genesis, is saying the same thing here that he did in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything because he was before everything. That's the first thing I want to share with you in God's Word. He's eternal. He had no beginning. If he had a beginning, he would have an end, and he wouldn't be God. But he is God from everlasting to everlasting. He always was, is, and will be. God makes himself known to us in so many ways. All you have to do is look at creation around us. How it reflects his majesty, his power, his creativity, his glory. And I think also God makes himself known to us by that inward sense, even from childhood, of knowing what's right and wrong. God makes himself known to us by his living word, Jesus, who is the perfect image of the Father. And he makes himself known to us by his written word. We can't get everything about God just simply from creation. I mean, that doesn't show us how to be saved or how to follow God or how to walk in obedience to him or what he wants for our lives. That's shown in his word. And this eternal God is the very God who created everything, who sustains everything, and he is the source of all life. Isn't that powerful? You know, death is a consequence of sin. And it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said himself, He has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And in the Old Testament, when God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not I was. He's the God of the living. He is the source of all life. And he's holy. You know what that means? That means he's set apart from creation. He's perfect. He's flawless in everything he says and everything he does. Let me read you a passage in Exodus 34. I think it's starting in verse 6 where it says, And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God's holy, and because he's holy, he's just in punishing the wicked. Those who don't repent, those who choose not to follow God or obey him, even worse, rebel against him, he punishes them. His wrath is poured out on them. And when you're reading God's word about his nature, his character, his ways, it's not that he delights in it. God doesn't wish anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He judges not because he wants to, not because he delights in it, because we leave him no choice. He judges out of necessity. But we can't forget that he does judge and punish the wicked. We don't always like to hear that, but he does. His word declares it. But something else we can't forget. God's merciful. To those who seek his forgiveness, to those who repent, and he's patient with us. Those of us who have faith in God and who are far from perfect, he is patient with us. If he wasn't, he could have given up on us a long time ago. We serve a good God. We serve a God who not only is holy, but he's love. And it's out of love that he created us. It's out of love that he desires to have a relationship with us. It's out of love that he is so merciful to us and gracious to us. It's out of love that he sent his one and only Son to pay the ultimate price on the cross that we can be reconciled to himself. He is love, just like he is holy. And he's powerful. You know what else God's word says? It says that he is everywhere at the same time. You may try to run and hide from him. God's word makes it clear that you can't. Jonah ring a bell, he made that mistake. And a lot of times we too often try to run and hide from him, spiritually speaking. But he is everywhere. And I'm not going to get into the argument of predestination, but something else God's word reveals about himself. He knows everything about everybody. Their past, our present, our future. And the Holy Spirit says in Isaiah chapter 46, he knows the end from the beginning. He's one God. And he makes that clear in his word. Worship no other. All these other supposed gods, these other false gods, is what they are. They're false. In biblical times, you had people that would literally bow down and worship idols. You don't have that so much now, but there are still idols, because whatever comes before God or takes the place of God, that's our idol. And he makes it clear he is the one to be worshiped and served. He's one God. He's one God of three distinct persons. Look, if it's not hard enough to try and understand that God's eternal, that God knows everything about everybody, that he is all sovereign, try and understand the Trinity. There are a lot of people, well-intentioned people, who have tried to explain it, and some explanations sound good. But if we can't fully understand the Trinity, we can't explain it and do justice. It's just something that we have to accept by faith. Now, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but the concept of it's there. It is biblical. Way back at creation, when God said in Genesis chapter 1, "Let us make man in our own image." He wasn't talking to angels. Angels wasn't creating everything with God, and we're not made in the image of angels. We're getting a glimpse of God discussing the creation of mankind. Jesus himself, after he was resurrected, before he was ascended, he gave the Great Commission to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. And in that Great Commission, he said, "Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So that's a pretty clear indication of the Trinity. And there's some debate about whether 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 refers to the Trinity. You can read that on your own, but I personally believe it does. But there are so many other passages in the Bible that does make it clear the Trinity is biblical. One God of three distinct persons, the Father. And the Father is the one who is the lawgiver. He's the one who created and orders the universe. And we are given in God's Word an explanation of how he is our Father. He loves us. He's merciful to us. He's kind to us. And he disciplines us like any good parent would. We also see the second person of the Godhead, the Son. The eternal Word, as John describes in his Gospel. And you can read it in John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. Like the Father, he's eternal. He was there with the Father at creation. But ever since Adam and Eve fell, we immediately get revelation from the Father that one day he's going to send his Son, not only to redeem us from sin, but to defeat the enemy when he bruises the serpent's head. And that's found in Genesis 3:15. So Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, left his glory above to come down here to be in our midst, to be one of us, God in the flesh. And it's through his sinless life, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and our acceptance of what he did for us, not only that we can gain access to the Father and to himself, but we can now gain access to the third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. And let me make this very clear. The Holy Spirit is not it. Holy Spirit is he, the third person of the Godhead. Now, in the Old Testament, he would come upon God's people from time to time for a specific task. But ever since Jesus resurrected and ascended, he now makes his home in those of us who believe in him. It's the Holy Spirit who draws people to God. And it's the Holy Spirit that when we accept Jesus, he's the one who makes us born again, a new creation, adopted into God's family. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us, who's within us, who empowers us for God's service. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us these abilities, these gifts like speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, miracles, healings, and so much more. And it's not just for our benefit. It's to build up and help others in the body of Christ. It's to draw people to God. God blesses us not just for us, but so we can be a blessing to others. But the Holy Spirit guides us, and he helps bring back to remembrance things in God's Word that we may forget. He teaches us. He comforts us. He gives us the peace that we need, and so much more. I pray one day God leads me to do a more in-depth episode or episodes on each person of the Godhead. We're just scratching the surface here today. Before I close, let me just say this. There's so much going on in our world today. It's wrong. You see so much evil, so much corruption, so much division, so much hate. It don't seem like God's in charge. And yes, Satan right now is the god of this world. But his time's coming to an end, and God is still in charge. He's still on his throne. He's still the king of the very universe he created. So be comforted by this. Well, we're just scratching the surface on a few things that God's word reveals to us about himself. But we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. And what a privilege it is to serve him. And the more we get into God's word, and the more that we open up our hearts to what God's word reveals to us about himself, the more we know him, the more we're drawn to him, the more we love him, the more we develop a closer and closer friendship with him. But I enjoyed our time together today. And I look forward to next time to share what God leads me to deliver. But I pray that he blesses you, that he keeps you in his perfect peace in the coming week.